Today on the 10-12 podcast, the Big 12 softball regular season is over. Myself, Leah, and Eric preview the Big 12 softball championship, the games that are going to matter the most, any upsets that we see coming, plus the results from the weekend that both were incredible and devastating and wild, and who's going to feel good on Selection Sunday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 10-12, the podcast that covers all 14 teams in the Big 12 Conference Plus, Arizona, Arizona State, Colorado, and Utah. We are the flagship show at the 10-12 Network. You can find every show on the network at 1012network.com. And we are partners with Sports Social, Europe's biggest sports podcast network. I'm your host, Philip Slavin. Thank you for joining us on a Monday softball edition. Of course, we had to do this. We had to be here. The regular season is over. The conference bracket is set. We've got to preview a tournament that starts on Wednesday. We've got to talk about the postseason. We've got to talk about the craziness, the insanity, what all happened this weekend. 23-0 wins, bubbles bursting, seed lines moving up drastically, rivalries ending in incredible fashion, and me sitting here celebrating also Oklahoma State women's tennis moving on to the Sweet 16 with the absolutely awesome. I don't know why I'm showing the can to my hosts. You guys can't see this at home. Iron Monk put out a tall boy can with Pistol Pete Tennis. Not a sponsor, but I don't care. It's delicious. I had to bust one open. It's a celebratory weekend. As I said, my co-hosts, as they are every week through the season, two absolutely incredible people who have honored me with their time this year to come talk Big 12 softball. It has been an absolute joy to have two people that I would call friends. I don't know if they agree, but we'll see how that goes. One of them, of course, is the trash talk queen of the 10-12 network. She is Iowa State softball alum Leah Nelson.
I would consider us friends. Eric and I are now friends now that the Iowa State UCF
It had its moments, though, Leah. It had its moments. There were times where I was wondering if we would ever talk again. I'm not going to lie.
I know. After that first game, I was like, ooh. Eric's not going to be a huge fan. But now I would say we're all three friends. Super excited to talk about this past weekend. A lot happened. And, yeah, it should be a good show.
Eric, I don't think you're officially a member of the Big 12 until an Iowa State team beats you in a game where you're just like, what the heck just happened?
Right. That's so true. That's your initiation.
What happened? I mean, it's not quite losing to Kansas in football, you know, pre the last few years, but still losing. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. And of course, Eric is Eric Lopez. He is one of the hosts of the In the Circle podcast, part of the D1 softball team, including their resident bracketologist, which is perfect. We're going to bracketology talk about here on the show today. And Eric, you got a haircut, sir.
It's championship week. You know, you got to get your material ready. I'm getting ready to go out to Oklahoma City, represent this pod, represent D1 softball, but I'll be thinking of you both as I'm there as well. Should be a lot of fun. My first Big 12 tournament ever. Leah, I don't know how many did you get to play, Leah? Four?
We didn't get our freshman, but we went my sophomore, junior, senior year. So three.
Okay. Philip, yeah. How many have you been to?
Zero.
You've never there, been
it's
to one.
So
wow.
I haven't. You gotta go. I know.
It's unreal. I hopped
on the bandwagon after having multiple kids. And so I need the youngest to stop. Like, she turns two next week. We had a party on Saturday, but she's still the baby. Like, if you didn't know she was two, you're like, oh, isn't this baby precious? You mean the baby that talks and walks and, like, understands you? Yeah, that one. Like, if she'd stop being the baby.
Put it on your to-do
list. She's always going to be the baby. Just make her stop being the baby. Yeah, I haven't been doing that for the last year. Look, she's the baby in the family. She can be the baby as long as she wants to be. There's not much I can do about that. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got a lot of softball to talk about from this weekend and looking forward. The bracket is set for the Big 12 Softball Championship. It starts on Wednesday. Let's run through how this is going to work. I'll run through the seeding, and then you can understand the matchups. Texas earns the number one overall seed by sweeping Texas Tech this weekend with some, that includes a 23-0 game on Saturday. And thanks to Oklahoma State winning the Bedlam series, that helped Texas get to the number one overall seed. Oklahoma's win over Oklahoma State on Sunday, salvaging their weekend, air quotes, gets them the 2 seed, and Oklahoma State is the 3. Baylor, the 4. UCF, with their 2 wins over Iowa State this weekend, gets them the 5. BYU, who finishes with the same record as Kansas, except for the fact that they swept Kansas this weekend, gets the 6 because of that tiebreaker. Kansas falls to the 7 seed. Texas Tech, the 8. Iowa State, the 9. Houston, the 10. So Wednesday, the first 2 games we will get, both in the evening, 5 o'clock Central Time, 7:30 Central Time, or, you know, 30 minutes after the first game ends. 7 seed Kansas versus 10 seed Houston up first, and then 8 seed Texas Tech versus 9 seed Iowa State. We kind of look at this weekend as a how we got to where we are right now. Look, we could say Texas Tech had the roughest weekend when you get swept by your rival in the last series in which they're in the Big 12 and you lose a game 23-0 at home. But Kansas is the one really reeling right now. That team was ranked in the top 25 at one point this season, has now lost 10 in a row, I believe 12 of their last 14. That includes a loss at home to a quad four opponent, getting swept by quad three BYU. And those wins did not get them out of being in quad three, I don't think. At least based off of D1 Softball's RPIs, which I'm keeping a close eye on this weekend as things change drastically. Kansas right now, they've been sitting on the bubble for weeks. The way this weekend went, I think it might require them getting 3 wins in Oklahoma. It might just require them winning the whole dang thing in OKC to feel like they're going to be having their name called on Selection Sunday and here in a week.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think anybody saw them getting swept by BYU. I knew BYU would be a problem for them because they can hit, but I mean, the Kansas mistakes, the defensive errors, that's so uncharacteristic. Oh. And you wondered, Leah, I really wondered watching them play. You know, I spoke to Coach McFalls and Hamilton. The expectations were so high internally. This was the year. We're going to make the tournament for the first time since 2015. This group's been through the ups and downs. I felt like they were playing tight. Like they were making a lot of mistakes. They looked to me, they were pressing because they know that it was such a big series. Things haven't gone their way the last few weeks. And it just gave BYU extra outs with the defensive errors. And unfortunately, BYU was on fire. They were confident from the get-go, and I've seen BYU in person. When they get going, they're as dangerous as it gets offensively. And then the last game, they couldn't hit against BYU pitching. Leah, do you think it got to their heads? Do you think they put so much pressure on themselves because of this big goal that it kind of got to them there at the end? Because they did not play at all. They didn't look at all like the team that swept Baylor earlier this year. It was a top 25 team.
Look, BYU had nothing to lose and Kansas had everything to lose. And it is so nerve-wracking when you're on that bubble. I was there our sophomore year and every game counts. And when you want to go to regionals so bad and you haven't played in that situation before, you know, the pressure gets to you. And in the past, they've been playing loose. You know, there might not have been a chance to go to regionals, so they're just playing better toward the end of the season. But this year, it looked like all of the weight was on their shoulders. They looked like not the same Kansas team that we've been seeing this whole year. And it just stinks that that's how it came down to, because although BYU can hit the dang ball, they're beatable. And they're beatable. Like, Kansas can beat them. And it just, I wish they could get those 3 games back and do it all over again, because I think they could win. But it was just an unfortunate weekend for them.
Yeah, I as somebody who was really expecting Kansas to be in the postseason this year, and look, it's been a weird weekend. It's been a weird couple of weeks. Like, Syracuse has won back-to-back weekend series over top 15 teams for the first time in, like, program history. You got Ole Miss going on the road to beat Arkansas. It's been a lot of craziness. But for Kansas to have been where they were this season and to end this way, and again, like, I get getting swept by Texas, getting swept by Oklahoma State, even though you had two games in that series where you were up. To end it this way, you had the quad four loss, which was devastating at home, on senior weekend with this class of seniors and this season to get swept. Like, I am heartbroken for them because I just don't, I don't see it. I don't see it outside of winning the whole thing in Oklahoma City. You're going to open against Houston. If you get past Houston, you'd be playing Oklahoma. I mean, and then you're going to play Oklahoma State or BYU again.
If you get to that point, they got to get worried. They got to get past Houston. You wonder psychologically, where are they going to be Wednesday night when they play Houston? I mean, I don't know where they're going to be. Yeah. Maybe it's a fresh start. You get a good start, get a win there. But the problem is, we've talked about it on this show, I think for weeks, about how critical it was to get a top six seed, not to be in that playing game on Wednesday. And you're seeing the example here with Kansas. Yeah, you get Houston, you're not going to benefit in resume-wise, even if you win that. And, oh, by the way, now you're going to play Oklahoma. Oh, it's rough. It's tough. It is tough to get from there. And I feel for them because it's a group that played so well. Maybe in retrospect, peaked too early, pressed a little bit, as we talked about at the end, but oh, it's a gut wrencher for that group. I feel for them, especially kids, players like Casey Hamilton, who's done been a great representation to Kansas. And they just couldn't find answers at the end.
So Kansas and Houston, tough first season in the Big 12. We'll just kind of keep an eye on what they do this weekend and what they do moving forward. Texas Tech against Iowa State. You know what's great about Texas Tech versus Iowa State? The first time we've seen this matchup this season because they didn't play. So this is our first time we're going to see, and only time we'll see Texas Tech, Iowa State. We'll get to find out what we were missing. This is going to be great. Texas Tech, look, I feel comfortable with their spot heading into the postseason as a team that should hear their name on Selection Sunday for regionals. Now, you don't really want to drop a game to Iowa State here. Sorry, Iowa State. Iowa State also a team that has to win the whole thing to get in with a losing record. Texas Tech 38th in the RPI as of right now. Let's see. Eric, you without me having to go through everything, I feel pretty good about Texas Tech right here, right now. What are they, 40th in KPI? That don't lose to Iowa State. Just don't take a bad loss. Then you're going to go play Texas again. You should feel pretty good.
Well,
pretty confident.
A couple things. Would have liked to have been more competitive in the Texas series. I mean, the scores was a little rough. A little rough.
That's generous.
But here's the thing I'm worried about. Because they got swept in what would BYU did, because Texas Tech going in was a 7 seed going into the weekend. But they get swept. BYU sweeps Kansas. BYU jumps Texas Tech. So now Texas Tech's in the 8, and they got to play Iowa State. You're saying, well, don't lose again. Are you kidding me? Jamie Pinkerton in Big 12 tournaments ruins lives. That's what asked Glenn Moore last year. They would have hosted, he believes, if it wasn't for Iowa State. That is the last team I want to see in my going head to head an 8-9 team. He's going to have that team ready, and that might be a shootout. That could be a 12-8 game. Oh my goodness, that's the last game of Wednesday night. I might be up till midnight or 1 a.m. by the time that game gets done. I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's a big win game for Texas Tech. I think they must win that game to stay on the right side of the bubble. You lose that game, all bets are off on Selection Sunday for Texas Tech, Phillip. I hope you're right. I think they should be in. But those scores scare me about what the committee's going to think about when they see those scores.
Yeah, well, also, Texas Tech Iowa State has nothing to lose in this tournament. And like it's been in the past, these last couple of years. Like, they go out hard in the first round, beat Baylor the last, what? Yeah, last 2 years in the first round. So it's like they have nothing to lose, and Texas Tech has everything to lose. And so it could be a whole Kansas BYU situation again. And although I'm rooting for Iowa State, I would love to see Texas Tech succeed. I think it's going to be a fun game since they haven't seen each other this year yet. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a high scoring game either. And I hope you're not up till 1 a.m., Eric.
Here's your concern if you're Texas Tech. And I'm going to lump UCF in here with this, Eric. You start looking at the teams that are quote unquote on the bubble. Like Kansas, I think at this point has kind of worked their way out. You're at number 47 in the RPI. You really want to be, what do we usually say, around top 40 or closer to top 40?
Yeah.
I know Utah's feeling a lot better right now. They're 43rd. Ole Miss is probably feeling better. I can't believe that at 44. But Ole Miss has 7 quad one wins. Now, granted, they've played 23 quad one teams. It helps them. Utah's got 6. Texas Tech's got 2. UCF doesn't have 1. UCF is 0-15 against quad one. Like, I'm being confident here. Because I need to not be unconfident because I'm already sad enough about Kansas. I would be concerned for both Texas Tech and UCF if I was being a non-Big 12 homer at the moment because of the quad one situation.
Well, yes, if that could play in factor, I will point out, I believe Clemson has no quad one wins either. Nobody's worried about them. But you're right. That is something.
23rd in the RPI.
23rd in the RPI. UCF's in the 38, I believe, as we record this. We'll see what numbers look like.
There with Texas Tech.
Well, and that's why this Baylor-UCF game is very big. I think UCF, if they can beat Baylor, I think that's your quad one win. And that punches your ticket into the tournament. You lose that game, and it could get a little nervous around there. What I would point out, BYU is an interesting enigma here. Follow BYU this week. Where are they in the RPI? Because some of the metrics have them in the, as far as RPI is concerned. I know the KPI hates them, but the RPI has them somewhere in that 49 to 53 range. That makes a difference. If BYU cracks the top 50, for example, Texas Tech picks up 2 top 50 wins, which is quad twos. UCF would pick up 3 quad two wins added to that. So that helps your resume. The other thing is Texas Tech beat Charlotte, who, you know, could win the American Conference title. UCF beat FAU, who won the American. So I think they have more to work with. UCF also played Texas well, played Oklahoma well. They didn't give up a football score up until Friday night with Leah Nelson's beloved alma mater there. We'll get to that. But I hear what you're saying. I will also point out, Philip, I can tell you this. In my decade of doing this, this bubble, not the prettiest of bubbles. There's a lot of losses in this bubble. So don't – this is going to be one of those where you're going to have – everybody's got flaws. It's which flaw does the committee decide, hey, that flaw is not as big of a deal as this flaw, I think is what it's going to come down to.
I mean, that's been the conversation with the bubble, with the top 16 hosts, top 8 seeds. Like it's a little bit weird this year. It's not as cut and dry because everyone's got something wrong with them outside of like Texas. I will note, using D1 softball, this I do not believe this includes Sunday's games. I'm not sure.
It correct say. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Monday is the big one where it'll update. So yeah.
They have BYU at 49, so they've moved into that top 50. That's as a quad two win. Diamond Sports ranking has BYU at 47. KPI has BYU at 48. So at this point, so
KPI moved them up. KPI moved them up. Okay.
That they have every game. The last update for KPI was Sunday morning. So every metric has them as a quad two team,
which is significant. That is significant. Also, keep in mind, I mean, that also puts BYU in that first four out, next four out. Now, their non-conference schedule strength is not good at all. And that's what's going to keep them out. But if really think about what BYU's done this year. They took a game from Oklahoma State. They took a game from Oklahoma. They swept Kansas. Took a game from Texas Tech. Like, their resume is not bad at all. They beat Ole Miss. They actually, if they just had some of those non-conference losses that just kind of head-scratching, I think they'd be in the picture to make the tournament. And who knows? If they were to upset Oklahoma State and make a run of the Big 12 tournament, they could sneak themselves in there and maybe take that Kansas spot credit to Gordon Eakin to even put themselves in this position. I thought they were done after getting swept by Baylor, but to respond like they did, he's done a heck of a job with the pitching injuries they've had this year.
They're three quad four losses. If they could get those back, I think they're sitting in a very different position right here heading into postseason. Quad four is... okay. You feel good about UCF? I know I was playing the devil's advocate. I do feel good about UCF.
Well, like I said, I would feel better if from a UCF standpoint, if they beat Baylor, I would feel a lot better at that point because that's your quad one little check of the box. And that's going to be a fascinating matchup with Benford and Crandall against probably Sarah Willis. And like that was a pitcher's delight. If you love pitching, that series, Baylor-UCF, was all about that with a 2-1 game and 2-1-0 games. And I give UCF credit. They got smacked by Iowa State. I really appreciate Leah Nelson not texting me after that game. I thought about it.
I had it typed out.
This was a very critical moment in our relationship as far as being friends. Because if you would have texted me after the Friday game, I don't know what I would have responded with. And we may not be doing this show. But you didn't. You were classy. And we didn't talk. We didn't talk.
Right.
And so I will give you a virtual hug.
Thank you.
Because your Iowa State smacked them in
the
face.
And yeah.
I wondered how UCF would respond like that. You talk about your backs to against the wall. Because I felt like you can't lose that series if you're UCF. Because if you lose that series, you're going to drop into the 40s. And then we're having a real conversation. But they responded, smacked Iowa State back in game two. And then Sarah Willis was magnificent, throwing a shutout, and then the two captains, that five-year seniors, Shannon Doherty, Jada Cody, each coming up with two-run homers when they had to get it. They found a way to get that win against, again, an Iowa State team. I don't care what their win-loss record is. We're not going to get into the whole why their record is what it is. Jamie Pinkerton, I'm not just saying that because Lee is here. He gets their teams ready to play come conference time.
He does.
And they are not an easy out, which is why if I'm Craig Snyder, I am not sleeping well this week drawing Iowa State in that opening round game.
That's what I'm saying. Postseason, like conference tournament, Iowa State is totally different. It always kind of sucks because it's like, why couldn't they play like this the whole entire year? But hey, it's a frustrating thing, but it's like, if you can't make the tournament, ruin other people's chances. That's a horrible thing to say, but like that's kind of the mindset going into it because it's like you got to find some way to get yourself motivated in the postseason. So
take whatever motivation you need,
right?
Whatever you need, have at it. Have at it. Okay, so let's kind of look through the rest of this. Oklahoma will await the winner of Kansas and Houston. They'll play. That'll be game two on Thursday at 1:30 Central Time. Texas will face the winner of Texas Tech Iowa State on Thursday at 5 p.m. You mentioned UCF Baylor at 7:30. That is the late game on Thursday. You will be staying up late on Thursday, Eric.
I'll be calling the game for UCF, so I'll be in the booth somewhere. And yeah, it'll be late night there. You're all used to this in the Central Time Zone. I'm not. I'm in the Eastern, so hopefully caffeine will be available.
I gotta ask. Typical rule is top 8 seeds come from the top 10 in RPI. Top 16 seeds come from the top 18 in RPI. I know that it's a weird situation. We're talking here about could Washington end up as a host. I don't think they will after the Utah loss this weekend. Baylor is at 19 in the RPI. I don't think Baylor is hosting. But I have to ask anyways because it's kind of like last year where they're sitting there on that edge. Right there is a could they, would they, maybe, possibly. Do you think Baylor has any shot whatsoever of hosting a first round?
I think they would have to get in the conversation if they get to the Big 12 title game and still win the conference tournament. At that point, maybe. Because there's a 16 host spots. It's begging someone to take it. Because Florida State apparently didn't want it this week, and they got what lost to Syracuse 2 out of 3. Alabama lost 2 out of 3 to Auburn. The problem with Baylor, man, that middle stretch – just killed them. I mean, that first month, if they were fully intact the whole year like they were in February around Mary Nutter, this team would be an easy host. The fact that they're even in that RPI where they're at is amazing. But no, I don't think so. A lot of their win-loss against top 50s just took a hit, and for various reasons, injuries, suspensions, whatever you want to call it. They had a rough patch. Glenn Moore, give him credit. They found themselves against UCF and then followed that up with the sweeps of BYU and Houston. But no, I don't think they would have to make the Big 12 title game at a minimum just to be in the conversation, I think, at this point. Plus, this is a bad year to be a try to be a host in the state of Texas, because we got Texas, Texas A&M are probably going to host. Texas State is in the mix. So big year in the state of Texas.
I will note 19 in the RPI, and RPI is still the ranking system that they lean on the most. 27th in Diamond Sports, 27th in KPI. So the other metrics do not do you favors, and they weigh less what you did early, which is what's favoring Baylor right now. Those wins over Missouri and UCLA at Marinette are doing a lot of work for them. But I am curious on that UCLA-Baylor game. It's the night game. It's the last game. UCF would love to get a quad one win finally on the resume. Baylor, we don't think they're going to host, but I mean, you're going to sell everything you can to try and get as deep a run as you possibly can. It does set up for an interesting 4-5 matchup there, with a likely matchup with Texas in the quarterfinals the next day on Friday. Semifinals. Blah, blah, blah. Forgive me. I feel like it's two teams that have plenty to play for in what's an interesting 4-5 matchup in Baylor and UCF, in a series that we just saw a couple weeks ago that Baylor swept, but it was 2-1, 1-0, 1-0, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Very tight. You could argue probably the best, on paper, the best matchup of the quarterfinals on Thursday. And I'm going to be very interested. I think pitching will be the key there. The advantage, I think it'll be interesting. That'll be UCF's first game ever played at the Hall of Fame Stadium. That'll be unique. How do they handle that versus Baylor, who's been there, done that? I think that's something to watch, to see how the new teams, Houston, BYU, and UCF in particular, handle the new atmosphere of Hall of Fame Stadium versus teams like Baylor, who've been there through that before. So late night game, I could be low scoring. Situational hitting was the difference when Baylor swept UCF. Could be the difference again in this matchup. And again, I think if UCF wins that game, I think they're a lock to be in. I think they could still get in with the loss, because that loss ain't going to hurt them. But, you know, you just never know with committees what their mindset is and what could happen beyond your control. So it's an important game for UCF. And for Baylor's trying to build that momentum. I have Baylor right now as a 2 at Lafayette with Louisiana. They're going to probably be a 2 there. They could be a 2 at A&M. Those are probably the destinations for Baylor. And so they got to see what they have. And I'll be curious what, if they're any healthier this week, or are they still banged up? You know, I'm going to try to see. I'm curious to see Baylor in person after seeing them at Nutter.
If you're Baylor, you'd rather go face a Louisiana team you already went 2-1 against earlier in the season. Leah, as someone who's played in this tournament, and you've had some comments so far, I'm just curious your thoughts on how this stadium and this venue varies compared to others. I mean, Eric kind of touched on it's a very different thing to play here, having played here before or haven't. It's not going to be the Women's College World Series with the fanfare and the fans and so on and so forth. However, does that still weigh on you as a player? Does that place have a little bit of just a little bit extra than a normal venue?
Oh, what, like 1000%, even though it's the conference tournament, you watch that stadium on TV when you're a little kid. You know what it's, you dream of playing there. And again, it's not the World Series, but it kind of still feels like it. And you walk in and it's a massive stadium, especially if you're playing at a smaller field where, you know, you're not bringing in that many fans every single game, like Oklahoma State, Texas. It's a crazy atmosphere. It just feels different, if I'm being honest. Nerves get to you. And Eric made a good point of, like, it is UCF's very first game in the Big 12 tournament at this field. And I think they're going to have to adjust. It just, they're going to have to take it all in. Hopefully right before the game, they take a step out on the field, look around, take a deep breath, and then play like they know how to play. Play softball like, you know, you're at your home field. But 1000%, it is a crazy different feeling, fun feeling, but I don't know. It's insane. I loved it, but it was crazy.
What's also crazy is if you show up in Oklahoma City this week and don't have some fantastic school apparel from Charlie Hustle, sponsored here on the 1012 podcast and for the entire 1012 network. They love the Big 12 as much as we do. That's why they have incredible vintage-inspired gear for every current Big 12 school. And Colorado will be in the conference soon enough. They've got some great Raglan. If you want something that feels a little baseball, softball, they've got some Raglan tees that are there. They've got some incredible stuff for every school. Iowa State, Houston, Kansas. I know you guys are in a tough spot, but you can still look good. Oklahoma State, Texas. I said Texas twice. I'm sorry. Texas Tech. There we go. Look, they have great deals going on all the time. They have had a fantastic 40% off sale promotion still going on right now. Go check it out. They have a ton of gear in there. They're making way for new stuff that's going to be coming out this summer. If you find a few things in there, fantastic. Save, enjoy it. Tell them 1012 sent you. If you find something that's not on sale, but you still want it, use our promo code 101215, TEN1215. Get 15% off all non-sale items. So go to charliehustle.com. Thank you so much to them for sponsoring the show. We love the partnership with them. We're excited for what's coming out. I don't know if Cincinnati fans are listening to this, but they tweeted it out for us. They shared it. They've got more Cincinnati gear coming up. They got out some basketball gear in time for the postseason. They've got more Cincinnati gear coming this summer. They're going to have more stuff for the Big 12 schools this summer. And they're still working on Arizona, Arizona State, and Utah. My hope is about the time the teams officially join the conference, they'll have gear for them as well. So if you're a Big 12 fan, listen to this, softball fan, you're going to Oklahoma City. You're going to be there cheering on your teams. Get yourself some Charlie Hustle gear. Get it quick. Take it there. Show it off. Tell them you got it with the 1012 promo, or just tell them that the 1012 sent you. All right. CharlieHustle.com, vintage made fresh. Okay. I've waited as long as I can. I'm gonna homer here for just a second, and damn it if I'm not allowed to. For the first time since 1997, Oklahoma State softball has won the Bedlam Series. For the first time since 1993, Oklahoma State softball won the Bedlam Series in Norman, in their beautiful new palace of a stadium, in the final regular season meeting as Big 12 foes. I'm going to be petty for just a second. Twice, in fact, the pitcher who left Oklahoma State to go to the school that she said on a radio show was her actual dream school. Kate, enjoy that. This is the first time OU has lost a conference series at home since 2006. And by the way, if you think the Bedlam football record is lopsided, OSU is 7-66 against Oklahoma since they won the series in 1997. This weekend was, I mean, the demons have been released. The soul has been freed. You're feeling real damn good at this weekend. And look, OU got their whatever they needed on Sunday, on the actual final day for the seniors at home. They got their win. Big sixth inning there with six runs to pull off the Sunday and not get swept. Absolutely incredible weekend from Oklahoma State. The freshman, we were talking before we started recording. I don't know who Big 12 Freshman of the Year is going to be. There's six in the National Fast Pitch Association, like top 25 freshmen. Six are in the Big 12. You tell me who the best freshman is, there's a valid argument for the other five as well. I cannot wait. Carly Godwin was incredible. Ivy Rosenberry is playing with a cracked rib or a broken rib. You can see how hard it is for her to just breathe out there. She is in pain management. And after pitching absolutely incredibly on Saturday, she went back out on Sunday because she was 4.1 innings shy of the 100 regular season innings required to be able to be an All-American. So what did she do on Sunday? She came out in pain again and pitched 4.1 innings and did a fantastic job for Oklahoma State in that. Ivy has been so big for this team this year, and for her to have pitched as well, like all of them, Acock on Friday, Lexi coming in. I don't care. I could spend 20 minutes doing this. We could spend the whole rest of the show of me just glowing about winning Bedlam. Damn, it feels good to be a Cowboy.
I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, Leah and I, do we have to stick around? I mean, it sounds like you can keep going. I mean, you can do the show on your own. I mean, listen, it was big. It's a huge series win for Kenny Gajewski. You could hear it in his emotions if you listen to this post game. Obviously, it meant a ton on a lot of levels. This Oklahoma's been the standard he's been trying to build this program towards to, and to go into that building, win that series, especially with the whole Maxwell storyline. Absolutely. I bet you it was extra sweet for him and that staff. I don't think it was an accident after the Friday night game. He thanked, gave credit to his new staff, and it's Shippy, the hitting coach, as well as his new pitching coach. Listen, it's huge. It's huge on a lot of levels because they've pretty much locked up a top eight seed, and they sent a strong message. And Lexi Kilfoyle, a legend at Oklahoma State now, right? Like a legend for doing what she's doing, getting those couple wins against Oklahoma. She's wrapped up the Big 12 Pitcher of the Year, already a top 25 National Player of the Year. Should be top 10 at minimum. Amazing. Amazing weekend for this young Oklahoma State team that was supposed to be a rebuild this year. Remarkable job.
A major statement that they just showed this past weekend. And young team shows them what they can accomplish, what they can do. It was eye-opening. It's going to make postseason really, really fun. I hope they match up again in the semis in the Big 12 tournament. It's going to be fun. A statement. I'm honestly glad that Oklahoma State pulled it off. I just have to say I said that Oklahoma State was going to win at least one. And didn't you guys say that Oklahoma was going to sweep, or am I wrong?
No,
I did. I did. I trust me. I heard about it from the audience. Sorry.
Which is hilarious.
So one time I went with trends in history. But hey, yo, give credit to Oklahoma.
You have to go with your gut and your heart, Eric. You can't go with stats and numbers.
I hadn't seen Oklahoma State win in Norman in a while. So, but listen.
Had you ever seen that happen? Again, it was 1993. So
I was not following softball back then.
It's something I'm going to tell my kids about in the far, far future. I remember when I watched Oklahoma State beat Oklahoma in Bedlam series.
Okay, Grandma.
But here's what we learned. Here's what we know. Oklahoma doesn't have a dominant number one like they've had before, like Jordy Ball. They don't have Jordy Ball. Doesn't mean they don't have a good staff. Carly Keeney came up solid game for them on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, Oklahoma State, Kenny didn't throw Kilfoyle. I think in the back of his mind, he knew that the Big 12 title was out of reach once Texas clinched. And he knows also that odds are these two teams are going to play again Friday night in the semifinal. So you're not going to throw Kilfoyle a third time against Oklahoma in that. But they don't have a dominant number one, Oklahoma does. They are going to have to win this year by staff, and their offense is going to have to carry them. Now, they exploded late in the Sunday game, but they've been leaving a lot of runners on base, and they've been shut down by good pitching, by the Lexi Kilfoyles, by the Texas staff. You know, Sarah Willis last week really frustrated them with her off-speed pitches. Oklahoma has struggled a little bit against off-speed pitchers this year. Something, and I thought it wasn't an accident that you saw Lexi Kilfoyle throw a lot of off-speed against them, and it was successful. I think that's the word on Oklahoma. How Oklahoma adapts to that will remain to be seen. But credit to Oklahoma State. Like, this is not about what's wrong with Oklahoma. It's what's right about Oklahoma State. That's what the headline is, in my view.
A few last notes. Number one, Oklahoma scored 5 combined runs Friday and Saturday. 2 of those came on walks, just so they actually scored like 3 runs, if we want to give the truth. Number two, yeah, Lexi Kilfoyle is Big 12 Pitcher of the Year. Not only did she come in to seal the wins on Friday and Saturday for Oklahoma State against OU on the road, reminder, she was the starting pitcher for the 2 wins against Texas in that series win as well. So Oklahoma State was 4-0 against Texas and Oklahoma.
She should
when
be
Lexi
a
Kilfoyle pitched.
She should be a top 10 National Player of the Year. Like, she should be in the mix for talk now for National Player of the Year. That's just it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oklahoma State, with this series wins, now has 19 wins, 19 road wins on the season. No one else has more. No one else has 19. I think Boston has 18. They're 19-5 on the road. Some teams, LSU, are 7-7 in 14 road games. Just going to say that for if OSU is seated behind, you know, a team that's 3rd in the RPI because they made sure and played at home for 3/4 of the season. Anywho, 19 road wins. You feel like that should carry some weight. Yes, I'm very anti-LSU this season. The last thing here is, and I've seen some OU fans kind of bemoaning like this season and how they're feeling right now. Let me say this. OU is not out of winning a national championship. And if anyone says that OU is not going to win the national championship, that's fine. Maybe they don't. But the difference is just that it's not an inevitability. It is not an inevitability that OU is going to win the national championship. That doesn't mean that they can't, and it sure as heck doesn't mean that they won't. Okay? It just means that for the first time in a few years, it's a wide open race. Because Texas has been incredible. Tennessee is playing fantastic. If OSU gets the pitching they got this weekend and have seen many times this season and continues to hit home runs like they do, Oklahoma State is in contention. This is a wide open race that is going to be very, very exciting, where it's not just it's Oklahoma and then who gets to finish in second place. And I'm thrilled about that. I am. I think it's going to make for some fantastic postseason softball, and I cannot wait. Oklahoma State opens with BYU. I do want to note that we need to open that. That is the first game on Thursday at 11 a.m. Central Time. I love when I get softball during the day. It's fun for me at work. I do get some work done, but I can't say I'm not mildly distracted. But I think OSU has locked it up. Yes, OSU lost in their opening game last year against Kansas. I feel like you kind of go into this game with OSU understanding, like, just go ahead and get this one out of the way. We're going to probably face Oklahoma again. Maybe we can get another shot, because now we will have beaten both Oklahoma and Texas. The idea of Oklahoma State winning the Big 12 championship again for the second time in 3 years isn't crazy. It will be interesting to see how OSU's offense looks, if they can continue to hit the ball out of the park, which is what they have, which is where they have found their success this season offensively.
As long as there's not a Bedlam hangover. Is there a Bedlam hangover where they kind of come out little slow against BYU? I'll be following that very closely. I want to say this. Mike White will probably win Big 12 Coach of the Year. Usually the champ, the team that wins the league. And I got no issues with that. Mike White's fantastic.
No. But tell me, they're number one in RPI. They're number one RPI, number one team in the country. They won the Big 12 regular season. Yeah.
But you've obviously followed the pro Oklahoma State long, and Kenny a long time. I think this is the best job he's done at Oklahoma State throughout. And that's saying something, where he's built the pro. This has been one of the most remarkable jobs this year in Fred's National Coach of the Year talk. Kenny Gajewski has done an amazing job, and he has established himself, is to me, as one of the top tier one head coaches in college softball, because the critics were, well, he's only building it up off transfer. Those freshmen you're talking, that's not transfers, that's recruiting. And he changed his coaching staff, with his belt, it's paid off for him. Props to him.
This was supposed to be a rebuilding year for them. I would have never predicted this at the beginning. I really did not think they were going to be this successful.
I didn't think they would host. I thought they were on the bubble to host this year.
Right. If you would have told me we'd be having this conversation now, I would be shocked. I truly did not think they were going to be this successful. And obviously creds to the players and whatnot, but you have to give credit to Kenny, Coach Kenny Gajewski. Incredible with what he's doing. Again, like you said, Eric, people love to talk about how he grabs in the transfer portal. That's impressive, but these freshmen, before we started recording, we were just talking about their stats, especially over this weekend with their first Bedlam series. Holy, crap. That was just, I thought about saying it. I really was about to say SHIT, but then I got nervous because I didn't want people to
haven't done it all year.
I know. I can't, like, that's so, that would be so rude of me. And then people would think, oh, Leah, blah, blah. Okay. Anyway.
Potty mouth.
Chirper potty mouth, blah. She's a horrible influence on my young children. So I had to avoid that anyway. But holy crap. Like, are you kidding me? These girls have some insane stats. Incredible players. 1,000% Coach Kenny Gajewski was killing it. So anyway, carry on.
The Cary Eberle hire was a gamble as pitching coach. She was at the program 2 years ago. She was a pitching coach for one season. It's part of what led to Kelly Maxwell leaving, was having someone she'd literally just played with come and be the pitching coach. You made the change at hitting coach right not long before the season with an internal promotion, and they have been aggressive. You name all these freshmen. You take Talon Edwards, who's a sophomore. He leaned on, let's see what we have. Let's focus on the players we have in internal development. I talked about it with him on the podcast on Thursday of like, you can't keep recruiting transfers over your players, or you're You're not going to be able to recruit players. He had to develop these players, and they have delivered. Like, you have to we can have the conversation about what's the pitching staff going to look like next year without Lexi Kilfoyle and Ivy Rosenberry. That's fine. You're going to have to replace Caroline Wong, but you have five seniors leaving. The core of this team returns next season outside of the circle. Like, that is what that is what he has built, is this program into this, where it is supposed to be a rebuilding year, and we're going to be a top eight seed again.
Yeah, and if I'm you know, getting recruited and I'm in high school or whatnot, I'm watching Oklahoma State, and that's becoming a school that I want to go to, because they just upset Oklahoma. You're watching what Kenny Gajewski is doing. They're playing impressive. They look like they all just are having the time of their lives. Like, that's the school that I want to go to. So I feel like some top recruits are going to start visiting Oklahoma State and committing there. I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. So looking at the bracket then, are we expecting I'm curious your predictions. We expect probably an OU-OSU Bedlam matchup on Friday in the semifinals. We expect Texas to probably knock off Texas Tech or Iowa State. And look, upsets happen. Things happen. Understand all that. Texas would play either Baylor or UCF. How are we feeling? Are we feeling like we're going to get Red River for the championship game here? Is someone going to pull off an upset? Are we going to get another OSU-Texas rematch? Or is something... It's hard to pick something outside of one of those three teams being in the championship game on Saturday to decide all this. But do you see a path, an actual possible path here for someone else to find themselves there on Saturday playing for a Big 12 title, Eric?
I think the winner of Baylor UCF, because they have the pitching, they have the arms, could give Texas some problems. UCF did that. They held Texas pretty good when they played into three games. Baylor obviously has the experience with the arms. They hit Texas pretty good when they play. They all got swept, but they hit them pretty good Saturday, Sunday. So I wouldn't just automatically put Texas in the championship game. I'm not saying that they won't. But it feels like we're headed for Texas, Oklahoma, or Oklahoma State. And I'll say this. I didn't think I would say that prior to this weekend. I thought we were headed for a Texas-Oklahoma 1-2 Big 12 title game with perhaps the number one national seed on the line. That's not a given now. I think Oklahoma State can certainly beat Oklahoma again and get to the Big 12 title game. I think Texas has locked up the number one national seed regardless of what they do in the Big 12 tournament, by the way.
Yeah.
And I think Oklahoma State's a top eight lock seed. I think Oklahoma might drop to a 3 seed if Tennessee wins the SEC tournament, but they're going to be fine. But that's really all I see. Historically, you don't see upsets in the Big 12 championship for a reason when you have 3 of the top 8 teams in the sport in your tournament. Very hard. But I do think Baylor and UCF, because of Sarah Willis, what she's capable of, and those veterans, and Baylor with the veterans that they have, I wouldn't discount the winner of that game.
I agree. I think Texas is going to – they're just playing so well. I think we're going to see them in the championship, and then – I'm just nervous that Oklahoma State is going to have, I love this phrase, bedlam hangover, because I don't know. Oklahoma is a different beast in conference tournament and postseason. They have a lot to kind of prove. And I think they're going to try to prove it in this conference tournament this weekend. And so I honestly think it's probably going to be Texas, well, Oklahoma.
Let me just say this too, with the Oklahoma State health situation with the pitching, BYU can hit. They hit Oklahoma State.
That's true, too.
I'm telling that an early first pitch, BYU's going to play loosey-goosey.
Right.
Oklahoma, everybody's patting. Like, we're pumping Oklahoma State right now on this show. I mean, we're patting them on the back. I'm telling you, don't dismiss BYU there, especially with the Oak State, because if you're Kenny, are you throwing Kilfoyle in that game? Are you going
to? No.
So who are you throwing? Who are you throwing?
Ooh, right. I mean, I think it might be a little bit of Sunday's lineup against OU, where it's a combination of Aycock and Rosenberry, because you want to save Lexi for what's probably or do you play Lexi, see what you've got left against Oklahoma the next day, so you have Lexi for the championship game? I don't know.
That's the tricky one. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. I don't, because obviously with Rosenberry and it being pain management, there's not much they can do.
If Kilfoyle doesn't start the BYU game, Oklahoma State's going to have to score. You're not going to shut down BYU. That's been proven.
Yeah. Now, the loss to BYU on the road was Aycock and Cuts. Like, he didn't play Rosenberry, he didn't play Lexi in that Saturday game, and it got away from Aycock. That's what BYU got up big early, and OSU was able to hit later on, but they couldn't get enough to overcome the deficit that had been built up. And so, I mean, it's a strategy. I guess in my mind at this point, like, yeah, you'd like to win the Big 12 championship. If you feel like you've locked up a top 8 seed, if you feel confident in that, at that point, winning the Big 12 championship is gravy. Like, you're set, and your goal right now is winning a national championship in a year where it feels open for the first time in a few years. Like, if that's the goal, like, I want to take Oklahoma City seriously, but I'm not going to be sad if I don't pull it off there. Especially if it means Rosenberry can feel a little bit less pain.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're going to lose to BYU. If you're asking Phoebe for an upset, if you told me, hey, there's going to be an upset, that's the one that, you know, BYU can hit. And I'm curious how Oklahoma State handles now this prosperity. A young group, you just beat Oklahoma. Everybody's going to be talking about that semifinal game. And, oh, by the way, you're playing this BYU team.
Congratulations to BYU on making it to the Big 12 softball championship game. They beat OU earlier in the year. why not? Texas BYU. Let's see it. Let's have some. Texas UCF. Let's just let all the fun hang out there. We'll get seven teams in after all. All right. Before we go, Eric, when will your next bracketology drop for D1 softball?
How about almost all week? I mean, Monday you'll get an update, bracketology on D1 softball, with a lot of commentary too. On the In the Circle on D1 softball podcast, you're going to hear my breakdown of where everybody stands as part of our championship preview. We're going to be doing shows from the Hall of Fame Stadium in the press box there before each day of the start of the Big 12 tournament games, if technology is on our side. And we might do some shows, post-game shows, as the tournament evolves. So we're going to be there in sight. We're going to be covering the tournament as in thorough as anybody does at D1 softball. I'm looking forward to it. And we'll be following bracketology. We'll have a live show on Sunday night, on selection night. We'll have a watch along. We'll react as the brackets are being announced. And, we'll see if I can control my behavior like Leah did just now.
Eric, where's that live show going to be?
It's going to be on D1 softball, social media platforms, YouTube, you name it, X. Follow D1 softball, follow In the Circle SB. We're going to have live shows In the Circle SB this week from Oklahoma City. And then a D1 softball special show, selection show night, live show with reactions. And then we'll have an In the Circle podcast as normal on Monday, reacting to the bracket. It's one of the most downloaded episodes all year that we get, because people want to hear me freak out about some of the committee choices. But that's, you know, part of the fun, I guess.
Oh, that's going to be a good time. We will be off for the rest of this week. We will be back after Selection Sunday, of course, so that we can, we'll get some of Eric's thoughts. We'll get Leah's thoughts. We'll get my thoughts. Maybe we'll bring in some other guests to look ahead to the postseason. But this is it for the week. We're coming down to the close of the wire here, guys. We are. Leah, Eric, this has been fun. We're not done yet.
Don't start making plans yet. I'm just happy. We're not yet. Listen, me and Leah just went through a major breakthrough this week.
We did.
Survived an Iowa State UCF series, and we're still friends. I think this is meant to be long term. So
I agree.
It's like a couple's first trip to IKEA. That's what you guys have survived.
I might actually invite her to one of the live shows this week if she's available. Although she's busy. She's a busy girl. So
I am busy.
A lot of plans.
I think she can make some time for Eric. Come on, Leah.
I can make time for a friend where we just got through a really hard time in our lives.
Yeah, it did. Very stressful.
All right. Like I said, we'll be back next week. Enjoy the softball this weekend. We'll all be watching Selection Sunday. Check out In the Circle. Eric, y'all do a great job. Enjoy your week, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon.
Social Podcast Network.